This morning is the last morning on medicaments which have to do with the earthly substances. Tomorrow we will close with healing work through spiritual activity. Today the theme is the so-called typical remedies, so called by Rudolf Steiner, who created these remedies. So we are today talking about the conceptions of Rudolf Steiner, the things Rudolf Steiner read in the spiritual world as possibilities of medicaments. I think that's a good expression that you say that Rudolf Steiner didn't invent it, but he read it in the spiritual world as the most things. If Rudolf Steiner gives a lecture, you will find that he is observing and tells us what he is observing in such a way that you can understand it, that you can think it. So the only thing Rudolf Steiner does, the new thing Rudolf Steiner does, is not that he brings spiritual realities, because they have always been brought. The content of anthroposophy is not new. The way anthroposophy is brought is new, because it is brought in the form that you can think it. And also these medicaments, and also the biodynamic preparations, they were not invented by Rudolf Steiner, but he read them. He found them, he saw them. This combination of the oak bark with the skull of an animal, or this combination of chamomile with the intestines of animals. This new combination, this third line of foxglove, that's what Rudolf Steiner read. Once Rudolf Steiner spoke about one aspect of the typical remedies, and again I want to quote out of Fundamentals of Therapy so that I make you having a taste for this book. And you will find it at the beginning of the chapter of typical cases of illnesses. There Rudolf Steiner gives a short introduction and says, if we have come to the point that the patient asks us to help, then there has gone on a long time already the illness, and the only thing we do is that we bring back this cycle to its beginning point. So that's the conception of an illness as a process in time which has come to a certain point, and now you are going back to the beginning, and then you have healed it. But he says then, if you do that, you will find that the organism has lost a little bit of its vitality. It's an etheric process, and if you go the way back, you'll find that there is a loss of etheric forces. So you must not only heal it, but you must also replenish the etheric forces, the vitality. And that you do, he says, by diet. And on the other hand, you could do it by giving special medicaments for that. In the typical remedies, I quote now, in the typical remedies supplied by our clinical therapeutic institutes, this provision has been made throughout. That's one aspect of the typical remedies, that they have this nourishing, revitalizing aspect. That's one thing. They are something like a diet. Hippotodoron is diet for the liver. Choleodoron is a diet for the gallbladder function. Cardiodoron is nourishing the heart, and so on. That's one aspect. The second aspect is that they are, so to say, fundamental medicaments. They do something in general. And then the third aspect is that they heal tendencies of our time. I'll come back to both. Three things. Now, yesterday and the day before yesterday, we spoke about space and time. And you can put these typical remedies in space. And then you could say, for instance, Bidar, Scleron. I don't know whether the names are the same in America. And then the rhythmical system, you could say Cardiodoron. Also Digestodoron, because Digestodoron is working on the rhythmical system of the metabolic lymph system. In between you would find Pyrites and Cinnober. Both are described in the fundamentals as typical remedies. Here you would also place Dermatodoron, because the skin belongs to the nervous sense system. And in the metabolic lymph system, well, it's just a play what I'm doing now, but I would like to do 3 days something about time and space. Here you say Choleodoron, Hepatodoron, Rhinodoron, well, something in between the rhythmical system and the metabolic lymph system, we would speak about Anemodoron. And also in the metabolic lymph system, you would find Kalium Aceticum Cum Stibio. That's a fairy tale in itself. Kalium Aceticum Cum. It's nice that you once know that stibium is also in there. Kalium Aceticum Cum. That's in space. Amadoron. Lovingly. Amadoron. And the Minodoron, you can, well, that must be in between again. In between the metabolic lymph system and the rhythmical system. It's also a wonderful medicament. So I'm sorry that I can only speak one morning about these typical remedies. But we must certainly do 1 week about the typical remedies, but only after you have worked a year on it. Well, I take it away again, because it's only a play. Could you help me to bring the some typical remedies in time? Or do you give in very young age? Calcon 1 and 2. You can reckon to them to the typical remedies, because they are general for every child, not for a specific child. And they have to do with the situation of the time. You know that the Calcon was created after the First World War, just to help the children of the Waldorf school to have the possibility to overcome the undernourishment which was from the First World War, so that they could use the substance that they got for the nourishment better. And so Ita Wegman, together with Hilma Walter, composed after the Second World War, again something quite general. Did you know that? The one was Fragador. Is it called here so?
Fragador.
So Ita Wegman was always very much living with the situation of the time, and in the Second World War she was thinking, what can I do if the world is over, World War is over, that people be helped. And she was already negotiating with the Red Cross for food distribution and so on, and then she came to the idea, well, you can't do that. You can't reach everybody, but you can reach everybody with a medicament. And that was Fragador, where there are many, many substances in to handle the food you have, so that you use it at its optimum for the earthly nutrition. And then was also another preparation for the cosmic nutrition. And that was Lotio Prunicomp. That you put outside hout tonicum. Skin tonicum. That was a composition of Hilma Walter. For the cosmic nutrition. That you could have better sense perceptions through your skin. So, but that's not a combination of Rudolf Steiner. But you see, if Rudolf Steiner has learned you things, then you can find your own things, as in this case. Now, Calcon 1 and 2. What would you think you could give? Well, with Minodoron, you could think, for instance, if it doesn't come in puberty with children. And in the very last end, Scleron. But, for instance, also in puberty, Cardiodoron. And so on. Now the typical thing of the typical remedies is that you always find in the remedies at least two substances. For instance, two plant substances. It's always a polarity, so to say. For instance, Solanum dulcamara with bittersweet with Lysimachia numellaria. The one is a plant which grows on the earth, the other is a plant which grows upward. Or Cucurma javanica and Chelidonium maius. The one is a plant which grows in the tropical region, the one in the well, in our region, the one has the flowers quite upwards and the other has the flowers just between the leaves. Always, if you study a typical remedy, you will find that the plants, which are, if there are two plants, that they are always polarity, so to say. And it's very useful for creating a relation to these medicaments that you, for instance, take every 3 months a new typical remedy to live with, and to look at the plants, and to feel how this polarity is and why it should be. You know, for instance, Iskedar, the winter and the summer juice. So that's one thing, you have this polarity, two plants, it's one principle. Another principle which is often used is that there are typical remedies where you have a mineral, a plant, and an animal. For instance, sclerom. There you have lead. That's the most important part of the sclerom. But it is brought on its place, on the typical place, by sugar and honey. So sugar is the plant, and honey is the plant that went through an animal. Calium aceticum combustibio, or calium aceticum comb. There you have wine in four forms. I can't go into that. But wine, the plant. Then you have stibium, antimony, as a mineral. And you have, again, an animal in the form of the coral calcium. And then you have the calcalzon together, both together, so the one and two together is, again, a mineral, apatite, or... apatite is the mineral. Then you have the plant, which is, or the conchae, yeah, the oak bark, or the blossom of the cucumber. And then you have the animal, the oyster. It's always wonderful to hear this harmony, this symphony of the three kingdoms on earth, which act in such a medicament. Mostly, the typical remedies, so the remedies Rudolf Steiner created, had no potentization. They are percentage. And that's very special. They are very earthly substances. So they are really nourishing. Yeah? These low potencies are... Percentage has to do with the nourishing. And you mustn't potentize them then. Because it is meant like this. Altogether, Rudolf Steiner was asked, couldn't we change it a little bit? And then he was very earnest and he said to this doctor who asked him, Dr. Null, these medicaments have been given by the spiritual world. And you can't change them. And there are, nevertheless, it has been done. For instance, cardiodoron is especially indicated by Rudolf Steiner that you should take it in, that it be an oral preparation. And there is an injection. It's nonsense, in my opinion, to use cardiodoron as an injection. Sorry. You shouldn't do it. Now, these typical remedies are not for organs, but they are for organ functions. So it's not for the liver, but it's the hepatodoron, but it's for the liver function. It's not for the gallbladder, but it's for the gall function. It's for the heart function. They show, so to say, the archetypal health of the function, of the organ function. So it's meant to be, you see through cardiodoron. So the heart is meant to be, you see through the cardiodoron. So that's quite a new principle, to give a medicament not against illness, but for health. That's the new thing. It is something for health. And that's the new thing. And therefore, they are quite general. They are not for a specific person, but they are for everybody. So they are for something. They are for everybody. That you generally feel in which direction we go. I'll complete the picture. Rudolf Steiner once spoke about Arimanic diseases and Luciferic diseases. So these two forces which are a representation of the going from the right way, falling into evil. This great gift of the gods, that we have some things to struggle with, because evil is a wonderful gift. So if you have illnesses which are too luciferic, you are getting too young. You are going back into an earlier phase. Now, all feverish illnesses are luciferic illnesses. And you see the people are getting young again. They're getting nice rosy cheeks. And their breath is going as quick as a baby. The pulse beat is going as quick as a baby. And they have the consciousness of a baby. They are dreaming, and they are even telling their dreams. Luciferic. And you have Arimanic diseases. Well, Luciferic disease, you could say, that's like Sarah in the story of Raphael and Tobias, yes? The young Sarah, the woman. For the people who know the story, I can't tell it because I have no time. And then the Arimanic disease, you are getting too old. You can't move anymore. You're getting stiff. You're getting hardened. You're getting pale. You know, you are getting too wintry. You are getting like the old Tobias. Cut off from the world, the senses are destroyed. Now, let's say you are getting too Arimanic. You are getting too wintry after long disease. What do you do? You give something luciferic. You give something which is spring. For instance, you take the leaves of a blackthorn and you make them to an oil, and then this patient who is totally exhausted, laying in his bed after his long illness, and you rub him in with a brush, and then you put this blackthorn flower oil on him and let him answer to it. We spoke about this outer application. You bring spring to somebody who has been too long in winter. Or the opposite. There's somebody who has very summery skin. He has a moist eczema. And what do? You bring winter. You're taking the oak bark and you make a tea of it and you bring it on the skin. Or you are taking liquor burui, which is lead, and lead is winter, you know, and you bring it on the skin. So you counterbalance it. Now you have two scales, and on the one is the illness, and it's going down, and now you put something on the other scale, and the equilibrium is restored again. For instance, if you have a wet eczema, you are like summer on your skin. Yeah? It's all blossoming. Oak bark, for instance, or liquor burui. So,
liquor burui?
Burrow solution. That's lead.
Dumborough is called in this country.
Yeah. Or you have something which is not deciding which it is going to be, whether it will be summer or winter. You have, for instance, the itching on the anus. Well, then you change between summer and you give a chamomile, a warm compass, and then you make it wintry again and you get a very cold oak bark compass. You are just making a little bit of rhythm. Well, that's the normal way to treat illnesses. If something is luciferic, you give a little bit of Ariman. Because that's the wonderful thing of the evil, that it has always these two sides. And there's also another possibility, and now I come back to the remedies. Rudolf Steiner found they have chelidonium on the one hand and Cucurma javanica on the other hand. It's always a combination of those polarities, and the one is the luciferic part and the other is the arimanic part, and they are given together. And now you see what these predicaments in reality are, because there's always something in the middle. These are the real Christian medicaments, the Trinitarian medicaments, you could say. They give, so to say, the image of the statue which stood in the behind of the Goetheanum, of Christ between Lucifer and Ahriman. So these typical remedies are remedies which are for something. Is that a good expression? Mm-hmm. Which are general for everybody, and which have this equilibrium between two things, and therefore creating a middle. And there you see that are the real new medicaments for the future, the Christ given medicaments. Now you can, I would like to demonstrate a little bit how you can work with one medicament and then get a relation to it, so that it, well, that you know what you do, and that you keep the spiritual background of a medicament alive, because every medicament is, so to say, you could compare every medicament with a friend. If somebody comes with you with a problem, and you see the problem, then you can say, listen, I have a friend who is very good in that. Please go to him. And you know that you sometimes can do that, but you can't send everybody to that friend. You must be very careful who you send to that friend. You have reverence for this friend. And so it is with medicaments. You must only use them if you can't do without. Not use them for every situation. And so if your relation to a medicament grows, you have reverence for the medicament, and then it will work. I would like to speak about cardiodoron. And cardiodoron is a medicament which consists of three plants, the Primula officinalis, the Hyoscyamus, and the Onopardon. We will see that those two are opposite, and this stands in the middle. Now, I'll give you another key for looking at nature, which I found once. That's the key of the 10 categories of Aristotle. You know, Aristotle created 10 categories, you could also say 10 questions to put to the world. Where, when, how much, and so on. 10 categories. Substance is the one category. Then you get doing, having, suffering. Then you have time and space, sich befinden, position. You can have a position in time, and you can have also a position in space. And then quality, relation, quantity. But it looks quite abstract. But if you live with it, then you will find how concrete it is. Because with these 10 qualities, you oversee the whole world. If you have asked to a plant, which quality, which position, what do you have, what are you doing, what are you suffering, then you can be certain that you know everything of the plant. But also of the other realms on earth. Well, if you look at this, doing, having, suffering, which kingdom would you apply it to? This is a typical animal. It's one region that has to do with the soul and the spirit. If you look at it, time, space, position, what would you think? That's the plant realm. If you are looking at plants, you are especially looking, where are they growing? How many years do they need before they are ready? Yeah, which time of the year do they start? And so on. And if you are looking at minerals, you come to the quality, to the quantity, to the relation. It's very interesting. You see, immediately you can find an order, a harmony, a sense in this whole thing. And then you can say, you have 3 times 3, and you can bring a connection to several things. I let it open to you. And then there's this one standing, or in front, everything goes out from the substance, and when you come to earth, it becomes a doing quality, a suffering quality, quantity and quality. Or you can say, if you have something which has gone to all these things, then at last it has become substance. That would be the situation after the mystery of Golgotha, that you form new substance. But we let that be. Now, we look at the 3 plants, very short, and try to find if they reveal a little bit of their wisdom. So, for instance, which time do you find those plants? Then you will find this is primitive, this is in the spring, this is after the summer, it's now starting to blossom, and that's just in between. If you ask, what is the space? Where do the primulas grow? Then you know that the typical primula grows in the mountains. And the onopardon is in the plains, the steppe. That's very dry. Well, position, you can look, for instance, at a root, and then you will find the root of the primula is like this. The root of the onopardon is like this. It's a pin root. And the root of the hyoscyamus is like this. It's really incredible. But it's just so. If you look now at a relation, then you will. I use quite arbitrary these categories. then you find the primula is a very small plant. Very small plant. And the Unupadan is like a tree. It's the tree of the composites. I think there is no composite which is so big as the Unupadan. There's one in the garden of Harald. It's not so big. There are much bigger ones. And here Sim is in between. Now quality. You can look at colors. This is
yellow.
This is
violet.
And this is yellow and violet. Has them both. It's incredible how these are always opposite and then coming together in the middle. You can back again look at the time. This is a remaining plant. It is always there. This is 1 year plant. This is a 2 year plant. You can arrange it in quality, but I say it's quite arbitrary what I am doing now. You can don't go there into details. I just ask some questions and put them in relation to the categories. Now, what is the primula doing? Now, if you look at the primula, you see it is a plant in spring. And one of these days I told you that often you will find that the plants of spring are the nourishing plants, this Stoffstrom. And if you look at the primula, you will find, if you look for instance at the leaves, that there are hardly any leaves who have so much substance as the primula leaves. They are not so innocent like this, but they are like this. Yeah, they are bringing together as much substance as there can be. And then they have this wonderful rosette. This is on the ground. Only a rosette. Always if you find a rosette in a plant, it is that part of the plant which gathers, which brings together nourishing substance. The Unupadan has also a rosette, the first year, to gather all the strength to have the next year his lancering, well, just as a rocket goes off a certain platform to go into the sky. So from this rosette of the first year of the Unupadan, it flies into the second year, because it gathers the strength and the nourishment. So in the primula you find this wonderful leaves which have so much substance, only rosette, and then goes up this stem with these flowers who are like trumpets in the sun. Oh, it's all around. They are trumpeting in the whole world. And they are yellow. And Rudolf Steiner once said, yellow plants are the plants which help the substance to go into the metabolic system. And he spoke about primula, he spoke about hypericum, and he spoke about a yellow clover. So when you ask, what is the primula doing, you can say, he is or she is nourishing. The nourishing stream of the body is stimulated by the primula. What is the Unupadan doing? Then you see that he does just the opposite. He brings form. There's very much silica And to see that the life is pulling back, so that you get this heart, thistles, this wonderful forms. It brings the other side of the picture. And I have on one moment found, if you look at the primula, it's all drops. The primula is really a mercury. And if you look at the onopargon, you see it's a tree. It is also with his seeds going far, making big oversights, Jupiter. So in this respect, they are also opposite. I'm sorry that I can't explain it at length for the people who don't know all these categories of Jupiter and Mercury, but that's then said for the people who know it a little bit. So the doing is in the one side Mercury and the other side Jupiter. And what does the Hyoscyamus? That's a poisonous plant. And the Rusteiner says of the Hyoscyamus, he brings the living substance into the astral sphere. Well, that's an announcement of Rusteiner. I won't explain it, but just give it to you as a thing you can think over. So these two living substances of Primula and Hyoscyamus, and Onopardon, Hyoscyamus brings it one stage up. He brings it from the metabolic system into the rhythmical system, so to say. That's what he is doing. Hyoscyamus stimulates in small dosage, and I now translate, the transit from the substance which is bearing life to the substance which can bear the soul. Hyoscyamus regt in kleiner Dosierung den Übergang von der Substanz, die Träger des Lebens sein kann, zu jener, die Träger des Seelischen sein kann. Well, this is working a little bit with the categories, and you see it comes to life if you ask those questions. You see it's showing itself as a composition. Now, what is the suffering? In this medicament, the suffering is what you do, how you prepare it. I take it as the suffering. And then you will see this preparation is a preparation which has a relation to time, because Rusteiner says you take the blossoms of the primula and you harvest them, let us say, in the end of April, and you bring them into rain water, and then you make an extraction. First a cold extraction. And in that rainwater, I will read you the recipe exactly, you do a tinge of hyoscyamus. So from April till, let's say, August, you make this extraction. And then you bring it into a digestio for an hour, and you preserve that liquid. And then gradually it is time for the onopardon to be harvested. And then you again do the same procedure. You bring it in rainwater, tinged with a little bit of hyoscyamus, let it be extracted, and after some 2 months, you also make a digestion, and then the last part of the suffering is that you bring it together. And then you have Cardiodorum. So that's the suffering.
Funny choice of words for the word suffering.
Yeah? Suffering, yeah? Going through something, yeah? That is suffering. And you take the whole plant of Isaiamis, and you take the flowers again of the Onopardon. Now, I will show you the recipe of Rudolf Steiner. I said, Rudolf Steiner told somebody, you can't change the recipe because it has been given by the spiritual world. And this is one page of a notebook of Rudolf Steiner, where he had hundreds of those notebooks, where he wrote down the things he had been researching. And here you see, here above stands eingegeben, taken in, an oral preparation. And then here stands Muskelschwäche aller Art, feebleness of the muscles of all sorts. And then Wegerich, that's Plantago, that's Plantago. Man zieht den Saft aus, extraction of the sap of the plant, tingiert mit Regenwasser, in das Spuren von Bilsenkraut extract gegeben werden. Tinged with rainwater, in which are traces of hyoscyamus extraction. Dann lässt man den Saft durch die Temperatur von 37 Grad gehen und erkalten. Then you let go the sap through the temperature of 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit for an hour and cool it down again. Dann vitalisiert man durch Mischen mit Schlüsselblumensaft. Then you vitalize by mixing it with the sap of Primula. That's the recipe of Plantago Primula cum hyoscyamo, this medicament for the muscles. But it's all alchemy. Rainwater, yeah? Tinged, extraction, digestio, yes, where we spoke about this mercury process, vitalizing. It's pure magic, pure alchemic magic. And then, that's the first preparation. Then there comes one line. And now, the next indication, regulation of the heart activity. And then it's typical Rudolf Steiner, how he is exact and very short. One does the same procedure as above with primula, flowers, and at last uses thistle juice. That's Cardiodorum. Yeah? And then there come two lines. And now comes the recipe where stands with irregular metabolism. And then he said, ferns, a little line, and then without hyoscyamus, willow leaves, Hippotodorum. So that's the same.
Digestodorum.
Also a digestio. The same principle. You can't write it shorter. Yeah? So sober is that. Huh? And then comes a new line. Now something new starts. And then comes Hippotodorum. I won't read that because that's not on the order now. So, you have two recipes which have to do something with each other. Plantago primulacum hyoscyamo and Cadiodorum. They have some connection. Why are they standing together? That was the question I came on. And then I found the answer, again, in Fundamentals of Therapy, in the sixth chapter. In the sixth chapter, that is that wonderful chapter about blood and nerve. And Rudolf Steiner describes how the processes of the nerve start in the head and go down, having first ego organization here, astral body here, etherical body here, and other opposite stream from the blood going from the metabolic system where the ego organization is especially working to the middle region where the astral body is working to the head region where of this blood impulse only the etheric organization is working. And then he says, if those two streams meet, then you get the nervous sense system, the rhythmical system, and the metabolic lymph system. He says it a little bit more exact as I say it now. But I would like to read to you what he says, what comes into existence if these two streams meet each other in the middle. He says then, as he has described these two streams, the blood stream and the nerve stream, we see three distinct regions arising in the organism as a whole. Then he describes the first region and then the second region. Then there is a middle region where nerves, influenced by the astral organization, are working with blood processes, which are likewise depend on this astral organization and in their upper parts on the etheric. Here, in the periods of formation of man, in the embryologic periods, lies the starting point for the formation of those organs which are instrumental in the processes of outer and inner movement. This applies not only the muscles, for example, but all organs which are causes of mobility, whether or not they be muscles in the proper sense. That's the middle region. Inner and outer movement. Well, the outer movement we know, that's the movement by muscles. What's the inner movement? Through which organs are the inner movement done? By the blood vessels and by the heart. So you have plantago primulacrum hyoscyamo for the outer movement, and you have cardiodorum for the inner movement. Now it became clear why those two stand together. And now I found another thing, and that's even still nicer. And I will give the German part to Dr. Erasmi because he has just yesterday spoken about it. And I will read you the English part. It is of a certain anatomist, Burda, of the last century. And he wrote something wonderful where you see the connection of the outer and the inner movement. He wrote, "The voluntary muscles have in common with the heart," you see the two coming together, "the character of coming in polar situations, of striving to change, of movement. You go in, you go out, you are positive or you are negative, you have systole or you have diastole. You are feeling fine or you are feeling bad. Yeah? The voluntary muscles have in common, you are extending, you are contracting, the voluntary muscles have in common with the heart the character of coming in polar situations, of striving to change, of movement. Therefore, they are also related with the inner feelings, the voluntary muscles. But the heart is the general muscle from which the living movement spreads out over all organs. While the other muscles can be seen as through multiplication given local hearts. Isn't that wonderful? 19th century. That you could think still in such a way. But the heart is the general muscle from which the living movement spreads over all organs, while the other muscles can be seen as through multiplication given local hearts. As long as the feeling stays inside and remains an inner activity, it therefore affects the heart as the general muscle. Because feeling is just a general being fulfilled or being moved. Incredible. But the bodily will in the action of the limbs, the gesture, in the bodily will lives the local relation to the spontaneity of feeling. And therefore here lives the connection with the muscles as the local hearts. So there it comes together, these both preparations and this relation of muscle and heart. Now if you look at the preparation plantago primula cum hyoscyamo, you have this plantago plant, and you know this plantago is a plant which has much silica, which has a very strong form. It's these wonderful leaves. And if you say, which plant would be the most important in the plantago primula cum hyoscyamo, you will find that it's a plantago. And if you would ask, which plant is the most important in the Cardiodorum, it's the primula. Because the problem with the getting feeble of the muscles is that the muscles don't perceive anymore the movement. So there this perception of the movement has to be stimulated. And that's done by the plantago. Now the problem with Cardiodorum that the nourishment of the heart is not enough. And therefore you need the primula. Muscle and heart are in a way opposite. Oh yes. Primula cum hyoscyamo. As with all muscle weakness. Well, look it up. Yeah. But they belong together, that's clear. Yeah? Now, I'll say something very short because we have only 4 minutes left. The speciality of the muscle is that it moves, that it does. The special quality of the heart is that it is being moved. That it perceives. That's just the opposite. The heart is a perceiving organ. What is with the blood? How quick can I let it go on? Must I keep it here for a time? The heart is a perceiving organ. The muscle is a doing organ. Now, Rudolf Steiner once said The muscle is crystallized karma. It's very special. What do the muscles do? They bring you to the place of your karma. And what does the heart do? Rustin also described that once. He said, everything we do, every action, even every order we give to a servant, is stored in our heart. Because the heart is the cradle of our new karma. From the heart out comes the new karma. So again, you find the opposition. So therefore you can understand that the heart preparation, the karyodoron, is a perceiving preparation, and the muscle is a nourishing thing. And if you look how it is prepared, you will find you take the flowers, which correspond with our nourishing system, and you have it as a percentage, which also brings it to the nourishing system. Now, and not a potentized, which would bring it to the nervous sense system. You take the leaves. Now the question is, why has the heart to be nourished? Why is that so? And there is this astonishing answer of Rudolf Steiner to that question. A very exact answer. Rudolf Steiner says, just as the etheric forces of our head are from the third year on free to use for the consciousness, since, as it's strange, but it's not different, since 1721, the etheric forces of our heart, for a part, begin to become free to observe for the consciousness. And we all know that in our times we use our heart forces to perceive. How are you doing? We use them for our consciousness. Rudolf Steiner gives this information in a lecture on the social question. Because it is a social activity, using your heart forces as an organ of perception. But everybody knows what happens if you do it too long. You are getting undernourished. And therefore Rudolf Steiner gave karyodoron. Karyodoron was created out of the situation of mankind since 1721. That's the answer to this situation. Once Rudolf Steiner said to Dr. Kirchner Bockholt, a doctor who also was a curative urethanist, karyodoron helps you to have a good judgment on the situation. Because judging you do with your heart, not with your head. So you don't make the judgments through karyodoron, but you have a good physiological fundament in your heart for making the judgment. And therefore I often give karyodoron in the situation where other doctors give Valium. Because Valium prevents you from having judgments. And karyodoron gives you the possibility to have judgments. So, for instance, if there is a very existential situation, you have lost your wife, or you have lost a child, or you have lost your job, or you are in a critical situation in your life, then I suggest to people, take 3 times a day, 3 tablets of Kaliodoron. Because then you can come to the judgment, what this new situation wants from you. Because the relation to the world, we always make here. Here lives our consciousness. Here lives our responsibility. And if we are in the problem of consciousness, of responsibility, then you can use Kaliodoron. And I think it's a sort of dietary nourishment for all people who have to help other people. All therapists, if you have had a very difficult day because there are so many problems you were confronted with and you went into the situation, then you can at the end of the day take or a little bit Kaliodoron or putting some gold ointment on your heart to nourish the situation again. So Kaliodoron brings you the relation from yourself to the world, from the middle to the surrounding, to the circumference, as I've learned from Dr. Erasmus. That's Kaliodoron. In the soul realm, the physiological fundament to have the possibility to function in your soul, you have to do it yourself, but you have the instrument then. And the same does it in the physiological realm, making the relation of the middle point of the circulation to the whole circulation. And that means, for instance, that you can use Kaliodoron, because that's the difficulty. Where do you use Kaliodoron? There are anthroposophical doctors there who say Kaliodoron doesn't work, because they have not the right indication. The right indication for Kaliodoron, as far as I know, is that you use it if there is a problem of the relation of your heart to the circulation. That's the indication. For instance, if somebody has suddenly a high fever and the blood is running like the 3 blind mice, so quick, and the heart says, "What? Who?" And then you can help him through Kaliodoron, because then he is the center again of the whole circulation. Or, for instance, if people have heart palpitations when they stand up from the lying position, the relation of the heart to circulation is lost. Or if they are lying down in the evening and have palpitations, Kaliodoron. Or if they have a high blood pressure, the relation to the surrounding of the middle, or they have a low blood pressure, Kaliodoron. Because the Kaliodoron is the middle, is the health of the heart. So, I think Kaliodoron is a medicament which gives you a good relation to the world. And you know, I lay the link to tomorrow morning, there are exercises Rudolf Steiner gives for the relation to the world. And that are the so-called subsidiary exercises. The exercises which belong to the 12-petaled lotus flower, the heart lotus flower. And so you could say the subsidiary exercises are the Kaliodoron for the soul. And the Kaliodoron is the subsidiary exercises for the body.